Hi everyone, welcome to the Third Culture Kid Virtual Online Forum, where our conversations of TCKs and faith come together. I'm Jonathan, and I am an MK from both America and Nigeria. TCK VOF is a place for people to share their own stories and to learn from others. It's a place people can safely explore the effects, benefits, and purpose of their cross-cultural upbringings. We also want to challenge TCKs and cross-cultural kids to think deeper about how the cross-cultural component of their lives is tied to their faith. This podcast is brought to you by Crew, a caring community passionate about connecting people to Jesus Christ. While I was in college, I had the privilege of speaking on a panel during my university's missions conference. This panel was for TCKs, specifically MKs, missionary kids, to talk about their experience and what they learned, kind of similar to this podcast, but you could see us. Oftentimes, these discussions would be filled with pain, hurt, or some sort of trauma after growing up internationally, while at the same time, the guests would always say that they loved their childhood. This paradox is something that I know is very common amongst CCKs and CCKs, but what effect does this have on later generations? That's something I'm specifically thinking about because I'm in that time now where I'm like looking at my issues and looking towards potentially starting a family and what that looks like. We're pivoting from our normal episode setup and are just having a one-on-one interview with Stephen Black. Stephen is a TCK, parent, former missionary, and host of another great TCK podcast called TCK Care. He is currently working on his master's in clinical counseling, which makes him probably one of the best guests for this topic. So, Stephen, hello, how are you?
Well, hello, John. Thank you for that fantastic introduction. And yes, if you haven't listened to TCK Care, the podcast, please do so. I have some amazing guests such as John Waltor, Michael Pollock, Darcy Neely, amazing people, brilliant minds, engaging speakers. Yeah, glad to be here on this podcast. And then there's me too. I'm in the background. I ask the questions.
So putting you on the other side of the mic than you normally are on, we'll start out with the question you also ask all of your guests. So where are you from?
Ah, yes, right. I can feel 1,000 TCKs everywhere cringing in pain at the sound of that question. But since I am a TCK, and hopefully I'm going to be listening to people who are TCKs, CCKs, have some cross-cultural experience, and this podcast episode is all about me, I'm going to answer it any way I want to. How do you like me now? I was born in South Dakota, and when I was a baby, my parents moved to Nigeria. When I was 3, they moved to Vancouver, BC, not a Canadian. When I was 8, we moved back to Nigeria. When I was 14, we moved to Washington State in the US. When I was 15, we moved to Chicagoland. That's its own nation. Then when I was 20, I moved back to Washington for a year. When I was 21, I moved to North Dakota for a year. When I was 22, I moved to the Philippines for, 5 years? When I was 26, I think my math checks out at this point, we moved back to Chicago. And then when I was 27, I think, we moved to Oregon. And that's where I am now. So where am I from? I'm going to say Chicago because that's the last place I lived.
Valid. Also, being someone who spent a lot of time in the Chicago area, Chicago's not a bad place to be from. Let's be real. It's a fantastic
It's not a bad place. And the advantage of saying I'm from Chicago is that, you know, almost everywhere I've been in the world, I can say I'm from Chicago and people are like, ah, yes, that one. I know that place.
Yeah.
Portland exactly. is cool, but not, it doesn't have the same, like atmosphere. It doesn't have the same vibe or, I don't know, caliber or something.
Yeah. I mean, there's no 4 TV shows named after and based in Portland. So.
Right. Like we've got Portlandia. That's it.
Exactly. All right, so diving right in, when you hear the topic effect on future families, what immediately comes to mind?
Yes, this is fantastic. I really appreciated that question. I know when you'd reached out about doing this episode, the effect on future families stood out to me because I am a TCK, which means that my parents worked overseas, but then also during my time in the Philippines, I started a family and I had children who spent their first couple of years growing up overseas as well. And so the generational, I don't know what you want to call it, nature, heritage of being international and highly mobile really stands out to me. It's really significant. When I think of the effect on future families of being a TCK, I served as a TCK care coordinator for this organization that sent educators around the world. And I got to work with a lot of families who were very concerned about the effects on future families. what that looks like for the family is, you know, making this decision to move overseas. It is ultimately the parents' decision. It is ultimately the parents' job. But it has a huge effect on the whole family and possibly for generations to come. I've known other families that have worked overseas for multiple generations, and you kind of like get into like the family business. Being international, being mobile and multicultural can become sort of a family business. And being international, as you may know, you listener, not you, John, I know that you know this, but being international and mobile, multicultural, all that, it can come with a lot of advantages as far as having a broader perspective on the world, having a wider variety of types of experiences, being able to connect to people on another level. But it can also come with its own unique set of challenges. There's oftentimes a lot of trauma involved in traveling around the world. The more you see, the more you kind of like get exposed to some more challenging things. And there's a lot of like instability and loss. Loss is not necessarily a bad thing, but it can become very taxing. It can really take a toll on people. And so the effect on future families, I just think there's a gravity to the lifestyle that we live. There's a weight that I feel to being mobile and multicultural, but there's also something beautiful to it. And I hope that even if I'm not able to raise my children overseas and not able to provide them with a similar international experience that I had, I hope that I'm able to pass on some of the beautiful things that have benefited my life from living in an international context, because I would love for that to be part of my family heritage.
That's good. One thing, and I guess quote unquote casualty would be the word that I've experienced in my life of growing up overseas, would be my relationship with my extended family. I'm sure you know this, and people who grew up overseas, like, I mean, my parents left during a time when FaceTime and Skype and things weren't really things that happened. And then I have my family, they're kind of scattered across the country. So even since we've been back, just like, I never really had that foundational relationship with my cousins or my aunts and my uncles. And even now, Thanksgiving, it's great. I love them, but it's different than other places that other times that I've seen. Whereas like we moved back to small town Ohio, where you have grandma and great grandma and great great grandma all within the same city block of each other. And they're just like, yeah, I spent years going up to the lake and I practically lived with my grandparents when I wasn't with my parents. And it's people who've lived in the same town for generations and generations. And I saw there was a difference between my family reality and my friend's family reality. And that's something me and my siblings all looked at. And so now we're trying to kind of learn from that. And I guess it's knowing some of us will be, quote unquote, following the family business, trying to kind of, I guess, break that cycle a little bit and be a little bit more communicative for our kids as their cousins growing up and things like that. What are some advice that you would give to people who are attempting to, I guess, break family norms or break family structures that are, mine is a kind of benign, but that are semi-negative or toxic as they move into a new family system?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I feel like that's a question asked by every good parent. How can I make my family a little bit better than it was for me growing up? Not that there's anything wrong with your family, but we always want to like take things to the next level and make things a little bit better for our children than we had it for ourselves. I feel like that's normal. And yeah, equally true for people in the international business. And I think I have a suspicion that what it comes down to is self-awareness. I was recently, you know, I'm studying for my master's in clinical counseling, and I had this assignment that was to look over my family history. And so I called up my mom and I asked her to tell me her family story. And she could tell me like four or five generations back. And that's not because the information was easy to hold on to, but it was because her family had some really messed up people in it who did some pretty messed up stuff. And somewhere along the way, someone said, darn it, this has got to come to an end. We have got to stop perpetuating this system and these behaviors. The more we don't talk about it, the more these behaviors have room to flourish. And so what we're going to do is we're going to remember every shameful detail about our family history. We're going to pass it on to our kids so that everybody knows that when you treat women badly, your family does not thrive. You know, when you treat your children poorly, your family is going to suffer for generations and it's going to keep going. My grandmother and my grandfather on my mother's side were divorced at one point. And my grandmother just said, I'm going to tell you everything. I'm going to tell you all about my failures just so that like you guys have a better chance of living a better life than I did. You know, I think that where change comes from starts with some kind of discomfort, honestly, but then necessarily involves self-awareness. I think one of the first steps of the 12-step program is like, I admit to God that I have a problem, which means that you've got to know that there's a problem. And then you've got to be able to vocalize that and verbalize it and say, maybe you don't even know necessarily what the problem is, but you know that there's something wrong. And that comes from being in a place where something is uncomfortable. I think that oftentimes for TCKs, that could come out of trauma. Yes, it could also come out of grief and loss, relational loss. Like you say, extended family is a huge one. This is something that I worked with a lot as a TCK care coordinator. People in the transition period, hey, we're about to go overseas. This is going to be a 5, 10, 20-year assignment, and it's going to be a huge strain on family relationships. What do we do? How do we keep those relationships going? And that kind of thing. And yeah, it's just such an important question to ask. It starts out with discomfort. It starts out by saying, wow, this hurts. This hurts a lot. Maybe something negative happened. Maybe it's just a feeling that you're living with of, man, I'm losing someone that I really love and really care about. Whatever it is, you come to this place of realizing there's something wrong and you admit that there's a problem. And then you say, what can I do to make life better? And honestly, you have to apply your own oxygen mask first before you're doing that for other people. And you've really got to figure out how to make your own life the best that it can be. Because when you're in a place that you're strong, you're going to be that much more capable of benefiting others around you and serving them and lifting them up in a way that's meaningful and productive. So number one is feeling the discomfort. Number two is admitting there's a problem. Number three is starting to work on yourself and to be the best version of yourself that you can be. And then number four is looking at your children, perhaps your future children, if that's the direction you're headed. Or perhaps just your extended family and your community and saying, now that I'm in a better place, how can I then look to others and make the world a better place for them as well?
That's good. That's good. I think you even have a podcast episode that goes through some of this, and we'll see if we can maybe put that in the show notes. One more question. So, a lot of what we've been talking about is kind of like, from my perspective, at least, has been sort of in the, like, my experience has been like repatriation back into the US after spending time overseas. But a lot of the people who listen and a lot of people who are now in this ever growing umbrella term of TCK and CCK are either first or second generation immigrants or people who are in the US and live in like a minority cultural experience. But in addition to that, you also have people who are going overseas for the first time and they're living as Americans in maybe Africa or the Philippines. What advice would you give to someone who is looking at starting a family or raising a family who is now in the middle of this? I'm now in a cultural minority in this foreign and new place. How do I set up new things, I guess?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've got some friends in the addiction counseling world, and the thing that I'm always hearing from them over and over, it's like a mantra, it's that the biggest trauma and the greatest healing happens through relationships. And like the biggest traumas are relational, and the greatest healing happens through healthy relationships. And I would apply that to TCKs and CCKs as well. Making the conscious decision to be a cultural minority, that's huge, you know, especially for someone who's like, you know, you and me, like a white American going to live your life in another country. in a way, you can become like this version of nobility, but in a way, you could also be setting yourself up to be the target of some prejudice, you know? And so for anyone, setting themselves up to be a cultural minority, especially for the rest of your life, especially if you're looking at building a family, there's this old saying that, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And that's true. It's all about community. It's all about relationships. The first thing, if someone were to come up to me and they said, I'm thinking about moving overseas, what are the questions I need to start asking? The first question I would ask is, how are your relationships here? Because if your relationships here on this side of the transition are not solid, they're going to be challenged by you moving overseas. And if they're not solid, then you may not be ready, you know, and you may not even have a strong enough support to go over, because then when you need to come back, there's going to be no receiving net to catch you. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, like, number one, you got to look at relationships here. And then number two, you got to look at relationships over there on that side of the transition. It can help to have an organization that you're going with, because then at least you have like a pre-assigned people, like the business, the organization, the mission, the military, whoever it is, these are going to be your people on that side. And so you kind of have an automatic community that at least you have someone over there to be, you know, nominally supportive until you find the people that are cool. And so like you start with relationships here, you make sure that you have a strong base on the relationships that you're leaving behind, so that when you place the strain of being in another place, you have something to fall back on and you have a relationship to build off of that's going to, that has the potential to grow. And then you also look at relationships on the other side to make sure that you have someone that's going to support you on that side. There are so many details. It would just be impossible to get into any of the details of like what it means to live overseas, like where you're going to live, what do you need, all that stuff. Education, medicine, whatnot, especially when thinking about kids. Oh my goodness. But I guess maybe that would be the third question. The first question, relationships here. Second question, relationships there. Third question is like, what kind of resources do you need to flourish in that environment? What kind of education do you need for your kids? What kind of medical attention do they need? What is the infrastructure around your family that is going to change? And is there something on that end that is comparable to what you're receiving now and that can continue to sustain your family?
There's a lot of thoughts I can go through. But final question, I kind of want to pull off something you said earlier when you mentioned living internationally is objectively a job. And something that you've said in previous conversations that we've had, that's kind of hard to do within a structure similar to like where we're at with like crew and with mission specifically, because oftentimes it's a calling. And my dad, who spent time overseas, that was his calling, sent me an article from Christianity Today that was basically like, is the missionary lifestyle anti-biblical? And the basic premise was, all throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, you see stability linked with blessing. I had a professor in college who said, wandering is never associated with blessing. You had Cain was cursed to wander. Adam was sent out from his house. Abraham was promised a place and he took hope and he never actually received that blessing, but that was the reason he moved and that was his starting point. And then throughout the entire rest of the Old Testament, the entire narrative is like, Israel is in Israel. This is our home. This is our roots. This is it. And then God's like punishing them by sending them away and all this stuff. And then you kind of look at that and then you look at least my upbringing and just the missionary lifestyle. And it's not that, like the thing that you don't really have is stability and roots. What are your thoughts on that? And yeah, we'll probably do some follow-up, but.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question. It's like, oh man, I feel like that's a $1 million question and it deserves like an essay all on its own. Maybe there was one out there. You mentioned an article, so I'm glad somebody's approaching it. First of all, like, I think that blessing and curse can be individual. It can also be communal, though. I could see an argument for, like, my people have a blessing, that my people have a place, and I, as an individual, am stepping outside of that place to go do a job somewhere else. And so you're not like necessarily rejecting the blessing, or maybe you are. Maybe you're just saying, you know, my family has this huge blessing that like my family has this property in Ohio, and mm-hmm. I as an individual am stepping outside of that blessing to go do a job. Or maybe you're saying, I'm going to take part in that blessing. That is my home. That's my place. Those are my people. Mm-hmm. And for a while, I'm going to be this traveler. For a while, I'm going to be a wanderer. Maybe that is assuming a curse, which I don't know if assuming a curse is necessarily anti-biblical. The Old Testament says, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus, knowing that, stepped into that and took a curse upon himself. Was he being anti-biblical? No. The whole gospel message is about him taking on a curse intentionally for the sake of others. Greater love is known than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. I think that greater love has known this, that he lays down his life for his friends, only applies to Jesus. He's the only one who ever laid down his life for his friends. But I think that we can model Jesus in laying down our life and laying down our blessing for the sake of helping somebody else. I think that that modeling Jesus and saying, I'm going to forfeit this blessing intentionally and assume a curse on myself for the greater good. The question that I have to ask, though, is it biblical to curse your children?
And that's like the, and then, you know, you have the positive arguments for missions and things like, and that's an aspect of it, which is like, you're laying down your own comfort and you're choosing. But yeah, it's that idea of like, God called my parents individually, but does that then by proxy mean he called me to then sacrifice? And some of the effects and the things that are semi-commonplace in TCK culture and just TCK lives are, I can see, are just direct results of just the transient lifestyle of the parents. And then I guess it's this idea of like, do you then get a choice in what your parents choose to do, and where does that change? And yeah, your choices then affect your kids, and then down the line and down the line. And I guess that's like a, you hear about missionary families being like, we're called together as a family, and that's great. But is that a conversation you should have with your kids earlier on than maybe, because I know for me, that was not necessarily a conversation my parents had. And it was just kind of like a, we're doing this as a family now, which is fine because you're 10, you don't get much information. But
right.
Yeah.
And that's a really good point. Like, do you discuss it with your children? How early on do you discuss it with your children? And then also, like, how old do your children have to be to knowingly accept that kind of responsibility for their lives to assume a calling that I'm assuming is primarily directed towards the parents. And that's something every family has to like take on for themselves. I would also say too, that there is so much to be gained from an international experience that, like I say, I would really, really, really want to take a couple of years to live overseas with my children. If the opportunity comes, I would really want them to have that, just because there's so much to be gained by living overseas. And so I don't think that when I say like blessing or curse, I feel like that makes it very black and white. And I don't think that it is necessarily. When you know that there's going to be grief and loss, when you know that it's going to be a difficult transition and that there's going to be a lot of relational turmoil, how do you approach that for your children? How do you talk to them about that? And I think that talking to them about that is a part of the process, is part of breaking the cycle of just being out of control, that sort of thing. Having those conversations does give them some control over their lives that can be really beneficial later on. But yeah, it's not an easy question.
No, and we could go back and forth. But yeah, and I think it kind of circles back to what you said about self-awareness as well. And it's again, this also this paradox that I've seen of every heart-wrenching conversation story that I have with TCKs who have gone through like a traumatic experience. 90% of them are all like, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's that this was a very tough experience, but overall, I had a much better childhood.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So yeah, we could talk for more, but if you liked what Stephen had to say, please subscribe, or me as well, if you liked my thoughts, please subscribe for more awesome episodes of TCK VOF on all the podcast platforms. Also, while you are subscribing to our podcast, you can also just type TCK in the search bar and then find Stephen's podcast and subscribe there as well, because I know you're going to want to hear more. from there, from him as well. You can find TCK Care on whatever platform you are listening to. If you're so inclined, please leave a review of our podcast and not only tell us how great we are, but get the podcast in front of other people.
But you can also tell them how great they are, because they are pretty great.
Yes, yes, you can do both, and it's fantastic. But, you know, it's a little less selfish to say you're sharing it as well. If you want to stay connected to us, ask a question, or leave a topic idea you would like us to discuss in the future, you can click on the message button on Anchor to leave us a voice message. Thanks again for listening to TCK VOF, where our conversations of TCKs and faith come together. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week.